It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Have 5 daiquiris?
You remember to do that.
I fell asleep by the pool for a few hours.
Did you fall asleep or did you pass out?
Shut up!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
This will wake you up on a Friday.
Come out of the gates, guns blazing.
I mean, we're playing Billy Madison, Mail It In Friday material, and then a quick transition into Motley Crue.
I have to be honest, I had the Crue on my radio on the way into work today, and I didn't even say anything to Mals. Like, I didn't say, hey, bring us in with some Crue or anything. I had Live Wire. I don't know if you remember that song.
I don't think I'm familiar.
We'll get Mals to throw a little Live Wire together.
Okay.
It's a pretty good guitar song.
Yeah, I have to admit, I haven't really done a deep dive into their whole catalog.
Into the Crue? Really?
Yeah, I don't mind them. Like, a couple songs kind of... I look at them almost like a novelty.
See, you're a little different generation than me, but... Like, what did you call, like, the smokers / headbangers or whatever in school, like?
Well, I came up during the grunge era. Like, that was kind of when I was getting
Kurt
into music.
Kurt Cobain type
of thing. Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden.
Right.
That was kind of...
But, like, who were the... In high school, what was the nickname of the kids that sat out on the bricks and smoked with, like, the Iron Maiden t-shirts or anything like that?
Not sure if there was a name for those guys.
See, we called them skids.
Yeah, okay, that came up a lot.
We had the skids,
yeah,
the jocks, the skids, the preps, or whatever. There was all sorts of. This is like dating myself because that's what it was.
No,
like,
that rings a bell. That probably would have been used.
One of my first ever. I think it was my first ever, like, junior high fights. Like, after school, was a skid. I fought a skid.
What happened?
I tuned him up.
I hope so. But what happened? Like, what did he call you?
That morning, I'll never forget, and this is where you know I was rattled the whole day because everyone knew we were going to fight after school. You know what I mean?
It's so stupid looking back on it now.
Like, I was so rattled. But that morning, I swear on my life, I was minding my own business. I used to like this band called The Clash. My thing. The Clash was like my band. And I had like a Walkman. Like, this is like not even Discman, a Walkman. And the guy walked by with a couple of his buddies and kind of gave me a push. And the Walkman went flying out of my hands. And I went berserk and attacked him right there. Because he was wearing like an Iron Maiden t-shirt, and I ended up ripping it over his head and off of him.
Wow, the jersey move.
I jerseyed him in the school. And then there was a couple other bigger skids that wanted to get at me, but I had bigger friends too. So it all sorted out, and they said, well, you guys can fight after school. And I said, absolutely. And
Showed up, and he was ready to go. New shirt, I would assume. And...
He showed up with like the whole school behind him, and I was standing there.
Why was he getting all that kind of fanfare?
I think people just wanted to see it go down. And I was kind of just standing there, and he went to swing at me, and I went berserk. I don't remember much about it, but...
Well, that's the thing. I'd love to go back and look at fights. Like, no damage was really ever
done.
No,
I wasn't hurting him
right?
or anything.
Because no one knew what the hell they were doing. And
nowadays, these kids probably twist your arm and do UFC moves and stuff. I'd be terrified.
Yeah, I wonder if that happens now.
I don't know.
I just assume people just bully online now. But there's no physical contact
anymore.
But
now it's everyone's gutless, so they pull knives and like it's not there's no hand to hand combat anymore.
Right.
It's because small guy overpowered physically. Well, I'll just pull a knife. I'll be an idiot that way. Even though I don't condone what happened. This was like literally grade 7.
But that's
eight.
Kids being kids. I mean, you want to protect your kids as much as you can. We're both dads, and you hope that everything's going to be all good, but you can only go so far. I mean, things are still going to happen. Kids are still going to have confrontations. And
you're right.
To your point, yeah. Listen, a fist fight, if it happens, no one's going to get hurt really in the end. Just make sure nothing stupid takes place.
Well, that's what...
Right? And to be honest with you, the more concerning stuff is the online stuff, like online bullying and videotaping and sending stuff around. It's just such a gutless era.
Well, it
like,
is.
Kids do some gutless things, man.
Well,
it's too bad.
You're right. And
we
and,
survived, but well, it wasn't that hard growing up. Now I think it. I honestly think it's more difficult to live to like grow up in this era where it's all about how many friends you have on Facebook,
how PC and, you have to be, and like all of that, like. Everything that goes on.
Well, because remember when you're kids, like there would be nights where I'm sure you got dusted off. You didn't get invited to that exclusive party.
Right, right.
But you never really knew and it didn't matter. Now you'd be sitting at home and you're like, oh, there's an interesting Instagram story of all my friends at a party that I'm not currently at.
I'm not there, yeah.
That would sting a little bit, I would think.
Well, it's the information age, right? That's what it is. So you know exactly what your friends are up to all the time. So you're right. It's probably a lot different.
John tweeting and saying, we called them burnouts, hung outside the library door in high school. They were very gritty, a very gritty crew.
And here's the sad part about all of this is I was actually friends with some of the skids or burnouts or whatever you want to call them, because I really didn't. I think I was an athlete guy, but I but
you were
I
diplomatic,
also,
yeah.
I resonated with a lot of people.
You're a gritty guy.
So it actually... That's what kind of rattled my cage about it, because there was, after that fight, there were other fights that went on between the athletes and the skids because of that original fight. And it kind of went in layers. Like there was my fight and then my buddy fought another guy like the next day and like the bigger, like it was by the Friday, it was like the biggest skid against the biggest jock.
It's unbelievable,
and they went,
isn't it?
That was a dust up.
Oh, I can imagine.
I guarantee you that the skid, he is in jail now. Like he was on the wrong path.
You were calling his shot at that
point. I called my shot like a long time ago.
Well, if he's in jail right now, he missed out on a great sports night last night. Now, I don't know if he really cares about sports. That's a segue for you. But last night, I got to be honest, it was a really difficult night to be concentrating on anything
it
in
was
particular.
Everywhere.
There was way too much going on. And
what was your depth chart?
Well,
then?
I'll be honest with you. I was thinking, okay, game 6, Raptors, Bucks, but they kind of screwed me a little bit because they go up 25 in the third, and I'm like, okay, that's over. It's done. I can resume other activities at this point. So I'm a draft junkie. Like, I love the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I love the NFL. And the fact that the draft is so removed from the Super Bowl and so far removed from when the regular season begins in September.
Right.
If you're an NFL fan, I feel like you have to take advantage. Right? So I was really following that. And I was taping the draft because I wanted to make sure I stayed up on everything that was going on. And it was a wild night because the Bears move up and they take Trubisky with the second pick, and then all hell breaks loose, and all of a sudden wideouts are going and quarterbacks are going when people didn't see that happening, and running backs are going in the top 10. So it was a really entertaining draft.
So from an entertainment standpoint, is that the best out of all the sports?
I think it probably is.
Because it was kind of weird, like the setup. We were watching the beginning of it, and it's like outdoors at the Rocky Steps, and I mean, the crowd, like that place was a massive.
Man, were they going crazy. And man, did they hate Roger Goodell.
Yes.
And Goodell was getting booed every time he stepped onto the podium. But I think the NFL draft has more movement in it.
Right.
Or at least it's perceived to have more movement compared to other drafts. Now, I can't tell you that that's factual, but I never sense that the NHL draft guys are moving up and moving down. Like, when was the last time we were in a situation where the guy with the third pick moved up to get the second pick?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a long time.
The only one that stands out for me recently was, remember Boston had three picks in a row?
But that was because of the Lucic trade,
right, the trades,
and the Martin Jones deal or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Jose.
So like they had done that before the draft started.
Right, not at the draft.
Not like on the floor. Now, at that point, remember, we were there and thinking they've got to move up. They got to be thinking they're going to move up.
Right.
Like I was of the impression they're going to trade two of those picks to move up and get the fourth pick or something.
Wasn't there rumblings that they were going to hand all three and say, we want the whatever it was?
I think it was Noah Hanifin, actually, that they were potentially going for. Boston kid, went to one of those Boston colleges.
Right.
But my impression is with the NFL draft that more seems to happen. It's more difficult to get a read on what's going to happen. And I also feel like because college football is so prominent, I don't track it that closely, but I know enough to know the players.
Right.
Right? Like, Major League Baseball's draft, no one watches because you don't know who the hell these
guys
are.
Rounds.
And there's 50 rounds or whatever, and you know the majority of them are, A, never going to make it. B, if they do, it's 4 or 5 years down the road.
Right.
So there's no focus on the MLB draft. NHL draft, you know the high-end kids.
Right.
For the most part. But do I know the kid out of Saskatoon that's going 22? No. I've read what Craig had to say about it, what Bob had to say about it.
Right.
A couple mock drafts. But I can't really say I've seen him play.
Right.
Right. But in the NCAA, if kids out of Alabama, if you watch any college football, you've seen Reuben Foster play. You've seen, you know, high-end picks that are going to be available in the draft. So I just feel like maybe you're more informed, you're more educated, there's more potential for movement.
Right.
So I was really tracking the draft. The Raptors screwed me because I'd flipped over, and then I had to go back because I realized they were melting. I mean, they were choking that game away.
I went to the bathroom, and you're right. They were up a pretty good chunk. I want to say it was like 16 or something.
They were up 25 at one point.
You're right, 25. But I went to the bathroom, was 16. I blinked because we were watching the hockey game, and it was like 9. And then I'm like, man, there's – and then – there was a time where Milwaukee was ahead by it.
They went up 2.
2, yeah.
With a few minutes left. Like, there was that kind of a swing, a 27-point swing.
And I was looking at that. I'm saying, boy, did they – because it's – our studio has so many TVs. So we've got a great setup. We had everything. We had the draft. We had the hockey games. We had baseball. We had it all. But I can usually tell the pulse of what's going on with Toronto sports because of our – the guys who write the scripts, the editors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always hooting and hollering when things are going well. So early in the game, you know, Lowry hits a bucket. You're hearing them upstairs yelling and screaming. All of a sudden, it got really quiet. And I'm like, I better check in on this Raptors situation. And it was not going well. You can tell that there was some puckering going up in the room.
It went south really quick. It was a 34-7 run for Milwaukee. And then you got to give credit to the Raptors, even after choking that lead away, and that's what they did. They looked as if they were completely lost. They were turning the ball over, defensive breakdowns, bad shot selection. They were really struggling, I mean, to put it lightly, to take a page out of Joe Namath's book. I mean, they were really struggling. And yet they managed to find their composure. Corey Joseph hits a big three. Patterson cuts to the lane, a dunk that was borderline uncontested, and then the DeRozan dunk kind of closed it.
Right.
So in the end, it doesn't really matter.
They won.
How it's exactly it's
they
how many
and
they're off to face Cleveland starting Monday night. We're going to have games 1 through 4 right here on TSN 1050, and Jeff Weltman, the GM of the Raptors, will join us in about 20 minutes. So we'll continue to touch on that game last night. So I got the draft going. I got the Raptors going. The Blue Jays, it's April, it's too early, and I'm tracking it, and I'm realizing they're going to lose this again,
which
they did.
It is early, and it's too early, but level of concern is a keg right now.
It's got to be almost the LCBO, where you have an unlimited credit.
Like, you just go in
and grab whatever booze you want.
It is. It makes me sad, because there was so much hype. I kept saying I got a bad feeling about I didn't like their summer, their off season, but what does it matter? Like, if the guys show up and the talented group plays to their potential, but you've got injuries, you've got inconsistency, you've got quiet bats, then you've got good pitching. Then you've got some struggling pitching and the bats get going. Like, they're not in a groove yet.
No, they're playing sloppy baseball. As soon as the story today, because he blew another save. He's blown 3 save opportunities, and he's had 4 on the season. And as we know, he began the year on the DL. So he was supposed to be the guy that you put aside. Right? You put Sanchez aside, you put maybe Stroman aside, maybe Estrada aside, and Osuna aside, and we know what they're going to give us this year. And that just hasn't been the case. And their age is being brought up a lot as well. I mean, they're the oldest team in baseball, or real close to it. And now they're 10 games under 500. They're 9 games back of Baltimore, atop the American League East, and they essentially have to play 600 baseball the rest of the way. And I didn't think they were capable of doing that before the season, fully healthy. I really don't believe that can be the case now. Like I said earlier in the week, they're already in miracle mode.
Yeah.
Like, it's Hollywood finish mode. Like, that's what they need. They need to go Angels in the outfield type of script here to get back into this.
They got to go Moneyball.
They got to get crazy. Yeah, and it's on them. It's what they have. Shapiro and company, they're not going to go out there and make a blockbuster to try to bolster the roster. If anything, it's going to go the opposite way.
Start dumping people.
Start unloading pieces. So,
but you can't. I mean, we can't be in rebuild conversations in April. You just can't do it.
No,
can you?
I don't think they are there yet. I would believe, like to believe, they'll give a vote of confidence at some point publicly. Hey, Gibbons isn't going anywhere. This is what we got. We believe in the team. We believed in them a month ago. We're not going to stop with that belief today. But I think it will more than likely fall on deaf ears.
I want to check the game. I may go to a game this weekend. I want to check to see what they're doing here. Like,
they could use some luck on their side, I'll tell you that.
Well, they usually win when I'm sitting there eating popcorn. Now, I got to check the forecast. Like, are we in the borderline situation where the lid's going
to
be open?
I think it's supposed to potentially rain tomorrow, so it might be a closed roof. That might be the game you're looking for.
I was looking at Sunday, but...
I'd have to look at it for you. But they're in trouble. So the Jays weren't really on my radar. And I was trying to track the two hockey games.
Yeah.
And the Pens-Caps game was a blast.
Yeah.
Ottawa does it again. Yet weird timing with Ottawa, because what people are talking about is the ticket issue. Fact that they didn't even sell out the building last night.
The building holds 18-6 or 18-7, and they were 2,000 light.
Well, that's what they announced. They announced 2,000 light.
2,000 light of attendance. You're right. And I don't even know what asses in the seats you're talking about. But we were getting sent pics of, and it was all over Twitter, pics of tops of sections. But let's be honest. First game of the season, Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews' debut. We sat in the press box and looked. There were empty seats. Am I wrong?
There were a lot of empty seats.
And Maple Leaf fans had made the trek. I do 40 of those games. I read an interesting article by Ian Mendez today, who covers the team. He got his drive show up there on TSN Radio, and he said it's not one particular thing. Like, there's a combination of many things that goes on in Ottawa that leads to that. He said it's not just the building being far out. That's one of the things that factor. It's not that they've been in the playoffs 16 out of 20 years. That's another thing that he pointed out.
Which you got to give credit where credit is due. That's a remarkable run, but you would still think it's the playoffs,
second
right?
Second round of the playoffs.
No kidding. Like, I can't picture another Canadian city where that would be an issue. Where in 20 years people are like, well, I've done this for 16 of the past 20, so I'll meet you in the Cup final or something like that.
I really struggled with trying to figure out legitimately how I felt about this, because my first reaction was to torch them and say, what the hell's going on out there? And I was like, I've got to dig a little bit deeper into this to see if it's just legitimately that it was a Thursday night in Ottawa, and you can't, like, it wasn't,
I don't care,
like,
it what it is, though.
It's the playoffs.
Like, they won last Sunday. You've had 4 days to figure out what your plans are for this game.
100%.
They beat Boston last Sunday afternoon, and it's the second round. It doesn't even matter who they're playing. Some people are like, well, it's an original six team. That doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the second round. It's your team. It's your city. And it's really not a good look. And like you said, we were getting different things sent to us. I had a guy send me a video last night up in the bleachers.
Yeah.
And he was kind of giving play-by-play at how many seats were available. I couldn't tell what rink he was in. I thought he was in Washington, because I just assumed there's no way that's Ottawa. Because he didn't say, I'm in Ottawa or whatever, and they're both wearing the similar jerseys afar, the red jerseys or whatever. So I'm trying to – I kept pausing the video. I'm like, is that in Washington?
Yeah.
It's got to be in Washington. And then an hour later, someone tweets out about how many seats are available. I'm like, that's in Ottawa.
Yeah, Washington was packed.
Packed house.
Including Letterman.
As you would think. Yeah, Letterman's kicking around.
He looks like a homeless person.
That's his new look. He's had that for a year. Ever since he retired, he went homeless.
But he looks weird, and he's always been a strange guy. But let's get back to Ottawa. Like, that.
It's not a good look.
It's a Canadian market that has had success. That team is a likable team. Like, they're not a team that cheats you for effort. They're not the sexiest to watch nightly because of the style. But we've said it all along. Like,
who cares about style?
You take a winner.
That's the truth. Like, listen, the Leafs were, if not the most entertaining team in the league this year, a top three entertaining team. They were a blast. But would I rather be in Ottawa's position today?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. In terms of this year. Not long term. I wouldn't trade roster for roster. But... yeah, Ottawa plays a bit of a boring style, but guess what? They win games.
And you're
Canadian. You're educated enough as a hockey fan to understand it's not run and gun every single night.
And you have arguably the best player on the planet in your backyard.
And the maybe the most entertaining.
Exactly.
Player. So, yeah, if the system and the style doesn't drag you in, 30 minutes of Carlson on the ice, I can't imagine a better marketable player. Like, imagine being a fan of any team. You're just an objective hockey fan, and you're like, you know what, I love this sport. He'd have to be top three or top five for guys that you would go pay to see.
I was trying to figure out today, who are the greatest players on the planet? There's Crosby, there's McDavid's down that path, and you could argue a handful of other guys. Would Carlson be in the conversation right there with Crosby and McDavid?
Noodles, I believe I said this a couple of weeks ago. We've been voting on the TSN Top 50.
Right.
I did it this year for the first time. You've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
If I were to vote right now, I would go Crosby 1, because I think if you're the champ, you got to be knocked off. And listen, McDavid's brilliant, but I think Crosby is still right there with him. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he's the champ. He's the guy who's been doing it longer. I'd go Crosby 1, McDavid 2, Carlson 3. That would be my list. I would have Carlson number 3 on my top 50 players in the league. I really, and I genuinely believe that, not just based on entertainment, based on impact. The guy is just remarkable.
Yeah. But he's that amazing. Is that when Carey Price is at the top of his game, I would have him there too, but it's gross what he does every night.
And last night, that's a fluky goal. I mean,
what people don't realize, if you get an opportunity, go back and look at the replay of that goal. It hits Derek Stepan's knee. Because I saw a lot of people on Twitter, like even goaltender people, like, oh, you know what, played that poorly. And
blatantly a deflection.
It hits Stepan's knee. So it changes direction. There was a point where people were saying, like, well, Carlson meant to do that. Well, if he meant to actually, he meant to fire it at the net and get it to the net, which was a great play by him because he had people out there, and you're looking for rebounds, redirections, what he got. But he didn't mean to bank it off of Stepan's knee, off the back of Lundqvist's mask or shoulder and into the net. What he meant to do is get it to the net, and it worked out because Erik Karlsson scores goals like that.
Well, and he also, when you look at the way he got it to the net, he did so in a talented way.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of guys that would turn and just slap that along the ice and say, hopefully someone gets a stick on it. He kind of, it was like a pool shot. He's like, I'm not trying to score, but I'm trying to get it in the general vicinity
here. And elevate it too. Get it past sticks, get it past
skates and all that.
That type of stuff.
He's unbelievable. And I don't know. I'm curious to see if Melnyk even responds. I don't know if it's worthy of an explanation if you're the owner. I would probably just let it go because you don't want to start fighting your own fans either.
No.
You're going to need them.
Plus, what I heard out of Ottawa today is Saturday, 3 o'clock game. It's more suitable to people getting out. I
That's
know. You
bogus,
can't
though.
Make excuses
totally
for people not to be there. But I don't know. There are Ottawa people that I know and like a lot, and it's interesting to hear their take on it because there's – And what people forget too is apparently there's a lot of stuff going on in Ottawa politically, and there's been some cuts there financially and stuff. So I think there is some.
Well,
some,
it is a transplant city.
There's really
no doubt
is.
About that. There's not, you know, there's a lot of people living in Ottawa and a lot of people that would have money in Ottawa that are there, and they grew up in Calgary or Toronto or Vancouver. And if you're not a Sens fan.
Right.
Then I can understand maybe why you wouldn't invest. But
I don't know.
Someone texted in right now saying, I'm a huge Maple Leaf fan, but I live in Ottawa right now. I went to the game last night. Lower bowl ticket for $80.
You couldn't get. What would $80 get you game 6 the other day?
Would not have got you in the rink.
Doesn't get you in the rink.
In Edmonton, it's $85 to stand in the concourse.
And take a leak in the bathroom there and watch it on a screen.
And you're not allowed into the arena to actually watch the game. $85 in Edmonton to step a foot in the building and then be told you can't move.
That's what people were pointing out, the difference between Edmonton right now that has the fever and Ottawa where they should have the fever because the team has given you nothing but
there's no fever,
something
man.
To be excited.
They're very
excited
healthy.
Yeah.
There's no fever, there's no illness. There's nothing.
You're right.
They're the most healthy person on earth. This hour, Melanin Friday, is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. We'll get O-Dog's comments on this at some point this afternoon. We'll incorporate him into the show.
Right.
He's just kind of chilling out on Melanin Friday, going baby monkey all day. Jeff Waltman, GM of the Raptors, will join us. Get his take on what that was like last night. We'll ask him, like, take us through that roller coaster ride. Because if you're watching it at home, you were pulling your hair out. They're up 25, and then all of a sudden they're down 2. But if you're the GM of the team and you're truly invested, what was that like last night? So we'll catch up with Jeff Waltman, get to a couching to 10K update. I've got a Trump story I want to touch on. The draft lottery in the NHL is tomorrow night. We got a lot to continue to hit on. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, Greg Reiner later in the hour. Couching to 10K update. Ray Ferraro coming up. Marcellus Wiley's back in the show at 5:40. Yes. Get his take on the NFL draft and maybe get his take on this Lonzo Ball story. How the reports came out today that Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas all said, no, we're not
interested. His dad's
interested.
An idiot.
LeVar Ball, his dad, is such a donkey. He's such an idiot. And
how much do you think he cost his son?
Tens of millions of dollars would be my guess. And maybe draft positioning as well. So I don't even think the final number will be determined because there's a chance top two or three team will say, you know what,
to move down the list. Yeah, I don't want to deal with the baggage that
comes
with it.
Don't want to handle this guy. So we'll tell you more about that story. We'll get into it later in the afternoon. The GM of the Raptors, Jeff Weltman, will join us to take us through that roller coaster ride last night. And how do they stack up against the Cavs? We'll get to that in 2 minutes. So the Raptors are off to the second round. It was not easy last night. They rarely make it easy on themselves in the playoffs. But last year, they went to game 7 in the first 2 rounds. And this year, technically, they made it easier on themselves than I guess they did a year ago. And RaptsIn6.com is a new website.
Yes.
Because the Bucks fans, after game 4, I believe it was, were chanting Bucks in 6.
Yeah.
And clearly the Raptors had other ideas. So it's a pretty cool website. You should check it out. Let's bring in the GM of the Raptors. Here is Jeff Weltman. Have you been on the website RaptsIn6.com?
First I'm hearing of it, guys.
Is that right? You didn't know about this. So this would be your social media team, I guess.
Yeah, considering that I'm not even on Facebook, you guys are my social media team,
Okay. Well, it's a pretty cool idea. The NBA seems to be on top of these things when it comes to social media and fan bases having fun with each other. And I mean, you don't track what's going on with your team's Twitter account and all that kind of stuff. Do you ever get nervous what could happen?
Yeah, we have guys who do. And if there are things that we need to know about, I think we're made aware. And not just our guys. We try to be up on that stuff around the league as well. But I did not know about the Raptors and Six, the Raps and Six website, though. I can't tell you.
Check it out, man. It's cool.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very well done. last night, man, was that a roller coaster ride. That was something last night. You guys are up 25, and first 30, 35 minutes of that game, you could not have performed better on the road in a closeout game. And then the Bucks go on a 34-7 run and end up actually up 2 points. Take us through that whole roller coaster, up 25 until the end of the game, from your perspective.
I would, but I just don't want to relive that. I felt like, did you guys ever see the movie Notting Hill?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where Hugh Grant is walking down the street and the seasons change around him. And, you know, by the end of the scene, it's like a year has passed.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear to God, I felt like while I was in that arena, you know, I was missing summer. My kids had enrolled in seventh grade. It just took forever. And I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, you guys know the NBA, and there's a lot of talent, and it's all about momentum shifts, and it's all about maximizing runs. And I really felt that in the first half, that was a mature, composed, poised team, and we really – in my mind, if we play that way in the next series, you know, or in any series, you know, we can beat anybody. And then in the second half, it just doesn't take a lot. And you have to be so vigilant. It doesn't take a lot for a team to just tilt that momentum, especially when you're on the road. And, you know, a lot of things went their way. They needed every single one of those buckets down the stretch, or I won't even say bounces or whatever else have you. But, you know, everything kind of broke their way, and they, you know, I credit them, man. They're a good young team. They're better than, you know, a lot of teams with far more experience, and they're coming. But at the end of the day, we did what we had to do, and we really responded. We had successive possessions back to back to back where we kind of regained control of the game and put it away. And like you said, like you guys said, you know, if this is easy, I don't want to know what's hard. But to win a game six closeout game on the road, to me, expresses a level of maturity in the team that we didn't have last year.
Jeff, what do you think changed for your group after game three?
Well, I say this. You know, in the six playoff series that we've been in since I've been here, we're 0-6 in game one. And there's something about us, excuse me, guys, Exhibit A last night in the fourth quarter, that we somehow induced drama upon ourselves. And we need that edge. And I feel that this is going to sound crazy, I'd almost rather win the game the way we won it last night than to walk out with a 25-point win. And I wouldn't say that about most teams, but there's something about playing on the edge and that nervousness and the tension that it creates that brings out the best in our guys. And I hate living through it, but I think that's part of our DNA a little bit. And, you know, the game three was almost like game one, and we put ourselves back against the wall, but then we came out and won the next three games. So obviously, like, we're always trying to put our finger on that and not live that way. And obviously the number one thing we love to do in this series is come out and win a game one, but that's been the way that we've operated. And I don't know what else to say.
With Jeff Weltman, Raptors GM. So you're telling me if I were to spot you guys 25 points in game one versus the Cavs, you're saying you're not going to take that?
Well put.
It's a pretty good spot to be in, isn't it? I mean, and don't you think, like, what do you take from this round? You guys know what Cleveland's all about. You lost in six in the conference final a year ago, effectively the same team in Cleveland. And we all know the big dog is still kicking around in LeBron, but your team has gone through a bit more transition. You brought in Ibaka, you brought in Tucker. I think Norman Powell has raised his game and really played a prominent role in this particular round. What do you learn from the Milwaukee series that you hope you can apply to getting past Cleveland?
Well, it's going to be a very different series tactically. There are two, you know, very different teams as far as the way that they try to beat you. So it will be a different complexion to the series. You know, what I've learned about our team, as I said, I really do think, I don't know if there's anything harder in sports than winning a game six road game to close out a series. I think that's, you know, human nature just tells you that in the playoffs, you know, the more desperate team is going to win. And whatever you tell yourself, you are not playing as hard as the other team whose season is over if they lose. And you've got to figure out a way to match all of that desperation and energy that they're going to bring. And it takes a level of discipline and maturity and execution. And I think that we, for most of the game, showed that last night. And I do think that that's something that was gained last year by going to the conference finals, a place we had never been before. So I do think that will serve us well. Obviously, that's what we're hoping. And additionally, obviously, we've changed our roster a little bit. And even some of our young guys, as you said, Norman and even DeLon Wright, who really wasn't kind of an arrow in Coach Casey's quiver last year, now is one. And so, you know, hopefully we'll match up better with these guys and, you know, see where we go.
How much of this, in terms of the matchup against Cleveland and trying to beat Cleveland, is a mental hurdle and believing you can actually do it? Just based on LeBron's history, I mean, he's been to the NBA Finals 6 years in a row. You guys are going to be the underdogs. You know that. How much of it is mental, believing that you can beat Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that when you get to this level at any sport, it's a big part of the game is mental. It certainly is in the NBA. And and we're mentally equipped to do it. I don't have any doubt of our belief in ourselves and the fact that that we feel confident going into the series. So from that standpoint, you know, I think that we're equipped. You know, the guys that we've added will only help in that area. Obviously, you know, Serge has played in the finals, and PJ brings a kind of veteran physicality and toughness that I think is, you know, ideally suited for a series like this. So it's a great point. It's a great question. You know, hopefully we're ready to roll when we, you know, go out in game one. But I do think that the team right now mentally believes in itself. I think that this is something that they've been working towards all year, and they're excited about it.
We're looking forward to it. Game one in Cleveland, Raptors, Cavs. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050 Monday night. Best of luck going forward. Thank you for doing this, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Jeff Weltman, GM of the Raptors. Has not been to rapsin6.com, but...
I was on it. Seems pretty unique.
It's innocent. It's well done. The Raptors kicking around, and he's doing his thing. And I mean, you can buy domain names for, what, $15, $20, whatever it is?
Yeah, you can. I think I bought jamiemcclennan.com a long time ago. You have to renew it like every 2 years or something like that.
Is it worth it to have it? I guess
no,
it is.
No, I don't know. I don't know why the hell I bought it.
You got it
what
now?
What am I going to put on? I got a Twitter handle. That's enough.
You'll figure something out down the road.
I just wanted to keep it, I think, because there was other people harassing.
Well, you don't want people trolling you, right? Like, I don't even want to go to brianhayes.com. It could be just me and the Peter Griffin era picks and some guy torching me every day. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But thanks again to Jeff Weltman. And we'll see how they stack up against Cleveland. That series beginning on Monday night. Games 1 through 4 can all be heard right here on TSN 1050.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, Noodles. Grit grinder looking back on last night.
Sidney Crosby, 2 goals in a minute. That was actually a pretty good game. Washington played pretty well. Like I should have given it to the.
That's who I thought that was sequence, a lock. I thought you were going with Marc-Andre Fleury.
I know, but everyone always says that I'm a goalie hugger and all of that, so I try and stay away from it. But I'll give Crosby love, but the Flower, that sequence was ridiculous.
Don't you think Ovechkin should have gotten a penalty there? Like, didn't
for
it
running
look like
into
he
him?
Ran into him and no one touched him,
and he was lost his bucket. I can't. Whenever Ovi loses his bucket, he's got the salt and pepper hair. He's not a beautiful gentleman, I'll tell you that.
He's a grit grinder.
He is.
He is a grit
I still
grinder.
Can't believe he's playing. That hit with Kadri, like, regardless of what you think of the hit, he looked like he hyperextended his
knee. He's made of steel. There's a few athletes. Basically, Ovechkin and LeBron James, they're not human. Like, there's no way those two are human. They don't miss games. They take beatings all the time, and they play. They just
and
never
they give
get
out
injured.
Beatings, too.
And they absolutely give out beatings. DeMar DeRozan, I'll give him a shout-out. 40 minutes, he had 32 points last night, and that massive dunk that basically closed out the game.
Yeah.
And the Raptors in general, I mean, Raptors fans that were grinding through that, up 25.
Right.
Everyone's thinking, here we go, they're home free, it's going to be easy for once. Next thing you know, Milwaukee's up 2 points.
Right.
But they're off to Cleveland on Monday night, so you'll take it. Ray Ferraro coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to hit the draft lottery simulator. We haven't done that all year because the NHL lottery draft is tomorrow night.
It is, and in this market, nobody really cares about it as much.
And it's a beautiful thing.
It is a good thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I don't even care.
If you're Vancouver, if you're Winnipeg, you're watching it.
So we're going to hit that. We'll catch up with Ray, and Marcellus Wiley will be on the show as well. We'll look back on night one of the NFL draft. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.